with God, you can have your plans if you want to. But he's always putting a curve in your plans.
Yes.
You done planned it all out. You know how it's going to go. And then boom. He just does it like he wants to. And that's what we're here for. The number one thing we have to learn how to do, you know, there's a lot of principles and a lot of steps and different things that we learn. One of the number one things that Jesus was trying to teach us to do is learn how to yield. It's good to be a master prayer or a master worshiper or a master teacher or a master whatever. But we all have to learn how to master yielding.
Yes.
Jesus will make statements, and it's amazing that he is the Christ. He is the Savior. He's the one that, he's the one, right? But it's amazing. I would hear him make statements like, listen, I myself can do nothing. Well, I just saw you do that, Jesus. He said, I myself can do nothing. He said, don't call me good. Ain't nothing good but one. That's the Father. He's mastering. He was mastering submission. He says, it's the Father in me that does the work. I have my own self can do nothing. I do what I see him do. Whatever I see him do, that's what I'm doing. And it's a mastery of submission. And this is not even, I'm going somewhere else, but Holy Ghost. It's a mastery of submission. We've been trying to master everything else and been trying to manifest everything else. When manifestation actually comes from you, it doesn't come to you. Okay, I'm gonna say it again. God's intention, the scripture in Romans said the whole creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. Right? The manifestation comes from you. But if you don't know that, then you'll be waiting on something. Waiting on a presence to come into the room. Presence came in the room and you walked in. Waiting for a move to deliver you when you've already been delivered. The day that you were born, God delivered you to this earth as a package to do what he called you to do. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. There's a divine reverse that we have to make in our minds. We've been so receive oriented that we don't know what we have. We've been so receive oriented. The doctrines of Christianity have been so receive oriented, right? That you don't even know who you are. Many people thought that Jesus was saying a lot of different things and he was trying to teach them some principles or some doctrines. But the number one thing that Jesus was trying to teach you is you. We're going to go over in John chapter 6. Whoever back there with the scripture, you can just stay in John 6. We're going to stay there. At the beginning of this chapter, and I don't want to read it all. I'm going to go through a little bit. But at the beginning of this, where he feeds the 5,000. And before he goes on to do this, he involves the disciples. How are we going to feed these people? And then it says, scripture says, he knew what he would do already. So if Jesus knows what he was going to do already, but he decided to involve you, it must be something he's trying to get going. There must be something that he knows about you that you don't know. So I gotta make a request. I got to ask a question. How are we going to feed all these people? How are we going to do it? What are we going to do? But he knew what he was going to do already. But I'm trying to get you to know that you know what you'll do also.
Amen.
At any minute, one of those disciples could have said, look, I got a lad here with two loaves. And one of them said, I got a lad here with two loaves and five fish. But he went back. But what are they among so many? You with the Messiah would say, well, Lord, you know. Anything could happen right now. Let's put it in your hands and let's make it happen. But many times we waver in doubt. And we only waver in doubt because we put ourselves in a position to be doubtful. This is what I'm saying to you. John chapter 6 has been ringing in my head before camp meeting. I was just listening to it over and over again. I had it on repeat, John chapter 6. I had it on repeat, just had it on repeat over and over and over and over and over. Started quoting it. I just over and over. John chapter 6, had it over and over and over and over again. And I started this message during camp meeting. It's called Beyond Belief. Yes. Going past being a believer. I got a question for you real quick. And I want you to be as honest as you can when you answer this. Okay? And I want you to answer to the best of your ability. All y'all watching online, Zoom, everywhere, right? I want you to answer to the best of your ability. Do you know your name? Ain't no deep, don't look for no revelation. I'm asking a simple question. Which name are you talking about? No. No, do you know your name?
Yes.
Answer me up in here.
Yes.
I mean, I got me a little worried. Do you know your name?
Yes.
Say your name. What's your name?
Martin.
Say it again.
Martin.
Hey, if you're taking notes, write it down right quick. Write your name on top of your paper real quick. If you're taking notes, if you like your phone, write it down real quick. Just write it down. Go ahead. Come on. Follow instructions. Come on. Write it down. Just because you don't know where I'm going, don't worry about it. Just go. Write it down real quick.
Yes,
sir. I got it down. You wrote it down?
Yes, sir.
Say your name to me again.
Yes,
sir. Bertha, right? I heard Miss Bertha because you're close, right? Would you say I believe? I say, well, hello, how you doing? I'm introducing myself. What's your name? Oh, I believe my name, Bertha. I mean, immediately, say your name right quick. You don't, there's no interpretation, there's no revelation knowledge. You don't need the Holy Spirit doesn't have to drop on you like a dove. None of those things had to happen. Say your name. Whoa, so you say, I believe I'm Freddie. You wouldn't say that, huh? If you did say that, I'll ask you what's wrong with you. What do you mean? I introduce myself to you and I don't know you. And you say, well, I believe my name is whatever. No, we're beyond belief with that. We're no longer, and so because I'm outside of belief, I'm beyond belief, right? I'm beyond belief, you know, I mean, I remember when we was little, you know, they asked you what your name is and stuff, and you kind of like, yeah, I think my name, you know, you little, right? But that's gone. It's just like that you say your name to me. Just like that you wrote it down, and I hope you spelled it right. No interpretation. No divine instruction. I'm saying this for a reason. That and so now you function this way when you have to sign some papers. Or do I believe? I believe this is my signature. You know, when there's something that you have access to that requires you to know your name on your license and different things of that nature, right? There's no, we don't go off in tongues. So you would say that you know who you are. Oh, another question for you. But these moments, I was supposed to say this before, these moments are, we got about 5.5 to maybe 6 hours together during the week. You know, Tuesday night, Sunday. These moments are supposed to spark you to begin to study more about who you are in Christ. These are not religious moments for you to come and get a blessing. These are not religious moments for you to come and receive an impartation. These moments are to spark you to a further study of who you really are in the Father. Listen to what I'm saying. And you gotta go hard with it. Look at your neighbor and say, go hard with it. Oh, sometimes we're too passive. We're too passive with our pursuit of the Father. We're passive with it. But we don't go all the way. How many are married couples in the house? Married people. Married? You're married? Okay. Cool. You're married. Cool. You believe that's your wife? Remember, Moses, I saw you raise your hand. You believe Miss Sheila is your wife? You I believe. No, we beyond belief. I would hope you beyond belief. We didn't. You got to go home today, right? Right. We didn't got past this believing. I wish you would say, I believe that's my wife over there. And she hear you. Yeah, you're going to have a long ride home.
All right. Or walk.
Or walk home, right. Because we've gone beyond. See, these are things that we function in. That we've gone beyond belief. I cannot call you a believer that you're married. If you're married, you just are. And there are responsibilities and privileges that come along with being that. That I don't have to pray in tongues about. That I don't need a wave of the Holy Ghost to reveal to me, Brother Dan. I'm beyond belief when it comes down to this. I'm not waiting on a word from the Lord. Hamal, I'm not waiting. No, we're beyond belief. This is what it is. The connection is what it is. And so we function as we are.
Glory to God.
Yes, sir.
I believe he for me. I believe that's how I spell my name. No, we've gone beyond. We've gone beyond. You married, so because you're beyond belief there, you're functioning in that connection already. Right? No questions about it. Nobody better not question you about it. Right? You are functioning in the connection and the covenant that's already there. Christ is the bride. The church is, well, Christ is the groom. The church is the bride. That means there's a commitment that's already been made. There's a commitment and a connection that's already been made. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. There's a commitment and a connection that's already been made that you don't have to be believing for all day. Is Christ the groom or not? Now answer me. Answer me with your spiritual, what the scriptures say. He the groom, ain't he? So he yours, ain't he? So there's a functioning that's beyond of me believing it right now because I am it right now. Say I am it right now. Come on, say it again. Say I am it right now. Come on, one more time. Say I am it right now. But believers. We're the believers. You're believers. Believers. Jesus ain't say it. Now, one time in the gospel, do he call you believers? I can't even remember in the scriptures the time I hear Jesus saying, you know, and Jesus believed. He tell you believe, and he tell you believe on him. Why must we believe on him? Because he is the example of who we are. Believers was a good branding situation. If you know anything about branding and marketing and all that good stuff, one of the number one things they want to do is label you, give you a name. And another, the main reason they want to give you a name is so they can put you in a box. I've been in a lot of music industry, with just media industry and creative different things, and dealt with a lot of different people. And the system doesn't like when they can't peg you. If I can't put you somewhere, I ain't trying to fool with you. I can know you got something, but I can't brand you. I can't label you and put you in a box. I'll put you in a corner. I'll put you in a place where I know where you at, so I ain't got to worry about you doing nothing else nowhere else. It's good branding. Started calling them believers, you know, in the book of Acts. But Jesus calls us sons. And further than sons, he called us one. The concept of just being a believer, this doesn't mean that you don't believe. Catch what I'm saying? It doesn't mean that we don't believe out the door. But I said it in camp meeting, I'll say it again. If I'm stuck in belief, it's like me being stuck on the road here and never making it here. I'm always on my way. At what point, and I'm going to read this in John 6 because Jesus said some things. At what point is it that we will begin to be ready to realize who we really are and the fact that we were sent here for a reason? Listen. At what point are we going to stop going through the motions? The day that you were born. Further than that, the day you conceived. If Jeremiah 1 says, before you were born, before you formed in the belly, I knew you. I ordained you. I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. There was a plan. There was a reason that I sent you here. There was a specific thing that I sent you here for, and I sent you here with what you needed already. I connect you with some people so they can show you what's really in you already, but you already got it. Listen to me. And I don't know when your birthday was or how long you've been on this earth, but today is the day that we stop acting like we ain't here for a reason. This witnessing app, Slack app, has gotten to the point where it's get us out the four walls and it activates us in motion. Listen, but it ain't stopping there. Because some of your witness ain't going to be, rise up, take up your bed and walk. Don't put that in the Slack app, though. Don't you do it. But I can only make bold statements like this and expect things to happen like this when I'm beyond belief. When I know who I am. You know, you go and listen to Jesus. And I hope you go and listen to him a good bit, right? I say listen to him. When I read the red words, it's like I'm listening to him. I feel like I'm having a conversation with you, Lord. Okay, thanks. Please, thank you for telling me that part. And when I watch him, I see him, and he's very absolute. He is very absolute. Pick up your bed and walk. Go your way. Go. Your son here. No question about it. Right? Jesus, I heard apostles say this, and I said it before, and I'll say it again. Jesus didn't do everything he did as a believer. He didn't function as a believer. He functions as a son. And the son is beyond belief. I had him laughing about that. The apostle, I ain't got to believe that. That's my daddy. There's no belief involved. I believe him. There's no belief involved. I am. What's crazy about it is I am whether I recognize it or whether I want to be. Or whether whatever phrase you want to put with it, I am. And it's the same thing with you and your Father God. Say I am. Say I am a son of God. Come on, let's say I am a daughter of God. I know we won't say it too much. I am a child of God. So because I am a child of God, all the rights, I have them. I can walk in this realm a certain way because this for my Father. We played around too long, y'all.
Yes.
And we've let people put us in a box. Oh, y'all believers. Oh, y'all Christians. They do it on purpose. You know, first time we were called Christians, it wasn't by the church people. It's by the people outside the church. Oh, that's the ones they call Christians. Because they're trying to put you in a box. No, they never call you sons. Never call you ones. One with the Father. So there's over the centuries, over the country right now, over the branding. They done branded you like a cow. Hey, go ahead, believe, and I go get in your pastor. Go ahead. You go over here and eat over here. You don't come over here. Let me put you in the fence over here. Let me put you in the fence over here and put you in this pasture over here. So y'all go ahead and eat grass and congregate with each other. Go ahead. Y'all have fun, believers. I'll be one of them wild cows, me. I'll be one of them cows, be trying to jump the fence. I'll be through the fence out. Nobody put me in no box. I gotta get to John 6. But Jesus knows who you are. He always has.
Yes, sir.
He knows exactly who you are.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He always has.
Yes.
He will challenge you further than what you're willing to give just for you to be who you really are. People say, I want to be in the presence of God. Father, I want to see your face. What, when you see his face, what do you think he's going to say to you? He's going to tell you, you ain't know who you was the whole time. I want to get in the glory. You say you don't have to believe that you say you're mad, you don't have to believe. You're beyond belief, right? If Jesus is the groom, we're the bride. It seems like somebody's not committed to the relationship. See, if this is true, and come time for man to leave his father and mother, and the two become one what? Flesh. Come on, y'all answer me now, because I know it gets heavy. And we don't want to answer. I don't know. The two become one flesh. They become one.
One.
But then Jesus is the groom, we the bride. There's a one-ship there. But there seems to be a lack of commitment in one of the parties. It ain't Jesus. Jesus went all the way and died. He was about his. Oh no, y'all for me? Listen what Jesus say. He said, y'all for me? Ain't no greater love than this man give his life. Y'all for me? I'm out here. I'm gonna go all the way. Because I believe in the commitment. I believe in the one self. I believe in it so much that I'm going to commit my life to it. Are y'all listening to me? And the church gets quiet when I start talking like this because there's things that he requires of us that we is further than what we're willing to give. And he'll say stuff like, deny yourself. If any man come after me, let him deny himself. Take up the cross and follow me.
Yes, sir.
Am I going to find this life? You got to lose it.
Yes,
We skip over those scriptures real quick because when we read them, it kind of challenges us a little bit more, and we don't think that's for us. It's cool to be a believer then because I can just kind of go in and out and just kind of function. But then he challenges me. He challenges me for the commitment. He said, there's nobody that's forsaken houses or lands, mothers or fathers, wives or children, for my sake in the gospel. Listen, he's challenging, right? He said, who, then he goes on the other side. He said, who won't, they'll receive 100-fold of all those things now in this time, right? But I gotta get you to make this commitment because you don't really know who you really are. I have to get you to not identify with everything else because you're not fully filling what you were called to do because you're not fully identified as who you really are. Listen, I've allowed people to identify me, and I've allowed situations and social status and all these things to identify me more than I've identified with God as my Father. And so a lot of the relationships that we have are not as fulfilled because I'm identifying with that more than I'm identifying with the Father. Do the world a favor and drop your rocks and all these other identities and identify more with the Father. Do the world a favor. We've been looking. They've been looking. But they've been finding believers. They've been finding believers that's trying to convert them into believers. They say, well, I don't like that because y'all don't look like the Jesus y'all talking about. I'm cool on it. I'm straight. Because I love what Jesus looks like. But I ain't seeing that. I'm a type of person, well, that don't sit right with me. We're not going home and have a good Sunday nap. That don't sit right with me. That Jesus looks like this and I look like this. That don't sit right with me. We really don't need to do nothing else till we fix this. I ain't really trying to have another conversation. We cool. All right, we cool. Stop. Until we get this together. Because I'm sitting up here with a major life identity crisis. Belief, just being a believer, will have you caught up. This is what I'm saying. Have you caught up in the realm of just trying to produce things or manifest different things, and you don't realize that the manifestation of the things come from who you are. So you begin to believe God for something. Right? But along with belief, it's like a seesaw, because along with belief, you can lean over the doubt. But what's your name? Say your name. Martha. Can I make you doubt it? Answer me. Say your name. Martha. Can I make you doubt it? There is no doubt in the fact of what your name is, because number one is your name. Number one, it is who you are, and there is no conversation. We don't have to have a discussion about it. This is who you are. There is no doubt that exists there. You show your name, you show that's your name. Yeah, stop asking me. You know, y'all know how we get aggravated. Ask me that one more time and watch what happens. But then when it comes down, we're believing for something. I think because we hadn't seen a lot of them, we have a tendency to think that the miracles, signs, and wonders are the top notch. Well, if we get to the miracles, signs, and wonders, boy, woo, we have to flip the world over. Jesus said, y'all not gonna, one time Jesus said, y'all not gonna get no sign. Y'all come looking for a sign, you ain't gonna get none. We read John 6 just now, and I'm reading a little further. The people follow him across the river. followed him across the water. He said, y'all came over here not because y'all saw the miracles, but because y'all had the bread. Because I fed y'all. Yeah. He exposed a lot of us sometimes. Yeah. Let me read it for you so you don't say I ain't read it to you. John 6 is right after that whole thing. John 6, verse 25, and he says, and when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, verse 26, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat the loaves and were filled. You got your little needs met. Y'all following me because you want your little needs met. I felt God. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine yesterday, and I broke down. Because I felt God's heart for a quick second. Because I realized how much we come to God for everything that we come to God for. And all he's asking you to do is be. Amen. Protect my family, Lord. Guide me in the way I'm supposed to go, Lord. Bless my finances, Lord. Heal me, Jesus. And Jesus said, I got something better than healing for you. I could imagine Jesus' face like this. Like, I can imagine he probably, the majority of the time, he's probably like, what's wrong with you? You made in the image of the Father. He didn't change his mind from Genesis. The only person who changed their mind is us. He didn't change his. He didn't cut us off. He said, you follow me because not because you seen a miracle, because you got your needs met. Most people signed up for Jesus because of that. No, I won't go to hell. And then verse 27, he says something. He says, labor not for the meat that perisheth. Don't follow me for the things that are not eternal. Yes, sir. But for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him God hath the Father has sealed. Don't follow me so you can do some miracles. Don't follow me because you want to have some manifestation in your life. Amen. Manifestation in your life is an effect of the cause. The Bible says, and in Proverbs, and it's one of the most powerful statements, it says, the curse causes what? Shall not come. That means there is a cause for everything that happens. Flip that. The blessing, or whatever you want to say, causeless shall not come. Things don't just show up because things show up. There is a seed that was planted first before the tree shows up. But we never have to believe for the tree. Because it is inside the seed. It is automatic. Because there is a seed, there will be a tree. And then because of a tree, there will be fruits. So we've been functioning in these things that are perishable. You know the perishable items? Yeah. Huh? You're getting the perishables and the non-perishables, right? Perishable stuff that go old, they expire. Right? And we've been believing God for all these expiring things. I'm believing God for this. It's expiring. Well, you don't realize that you are eternal in being. I want you to do more than miracles. I want you to do more. I want you to be more than signs and wonders. More than that. You're deeper than that. You're deeper than a Christian. You're deeper than just a believer. Don't labor for these things. Don't come follow me all across the water. Come on, you follow me. Don't follow me all across the water. Because you're trying to eat again. Verse 1:8, then they said to him, what shall we do that we might work, that we might work the works of God? They didn't miss the point already. Because you're still trying to work the works of God. Jesus is not trying to teach you how to work the works of God. Jesus is trying to teach you who you are. The works come from you. Yo, listen. The works come from you. No, I'm going to say it again. Don't sound that deep. The works, they come from you. See, the problem is we've been trying to do the works, and that's why we ain't seeing no works, because we don't know who we are. The works automatically come from you, just like a branch comes out of a tree. What shall we do that we might do the mighty works of God? They're still looking for something from Jesus, and they won't let him know. Go to the next scripture. Jesus answered them and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him who he sent. Hey, that's believe. He told me to believe right there. Yeah, he told me to believe. Believe what though? Believe what? Believe on him. Don't believe what he can do.
On him.
Hold on, see, specific. You believe what?
On
him. Oh, your belief is on an identity. You believe on him. If you're believing on Jesus, Jesus is only telling you who you are. I'm not believing on what he can do for me. I believe. Y'all want to do the works. Now he say, what can we do to my do work? He say, this is the work. Believe on him that God sent. Many times we miss, we have a tendency to, and I see it all day long, we have a tendency to miss apostle. Because we want him to release an anointing and speak a word over us. Lay hands on me when I'm sick. We won't. But you believe on the one that he sent, right? Why do I believe on the one that God sent? Because when I believe on the one that God sent, see, first of all, the one that God sent, he knows God sent him.
Yes, sir.
And so now my belief on the one that God sent makes me realize that I'm the one God sent too. Got a question for you. Jesus is going to say in a minute, I may not get to. He said, listen, I came down from heaven. That was his perspective. See, our perspective, we're going to make it to heaven one day. We on this journey. He said, no, that's where I come from. And here's the catch. You ready? That's where you come from too. You say, I am sent. Come on, say, I am sent. Come on, say it again. Say, I am sent. You were sent here. I don't care how it happened. You know, it was an accident. I don't care who was an accident. I told my mother. Mother talking about, you know, you was a surprise. Well, surprise. I said, y'all couldn't keep me out of here if y'all wanted to. God had a plan. I don't care what y'all tried to do. I was coming up in here for today. You were sent. Say, I am sent.
I am sent.
Come on, say, I am sent.
I am sent.
I was about to say, I was sent, but you wasn't. You not was sent. You are sent.
Yeah.
Right now, say, I am sent. God has a plan for you being here.
Yeah.
And I need you to believe on the one God sent. Because the one that God sent is going to teach you how to be the one that God sent.
Yeah.
Jesus gets talking crazy in this chapter. He gets talking crazy. He gets to the point you're talking about, eat my body, drink my blood. What are you talking about, man? But I'm just trying to get you to follow the one that God sent. Don't try to figure out the one that God sent. Believe on him. All your belief projects. Ooh. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry for what I'm about to say. All your belief projects. You got all your belief projects. What you believe in God for. And, you know, sometimes we've had these belief projects and they've been taking a little while. Yeah, because it's supposed to come from you. It's almost laughable sometimes when I hear Jesus talk, because it's supposed to come from you. Jesus says in Matthew, he said, take no thought what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to put on. Right. That man said, take no thought for tomorrow. That's what? Awesome. What's your 5-year plan? How do you have a 5-year plan when Jesus says, take no thought for tomorrow? He said, tomorrow. Yeah. No, he said, take no thought for tomorrow. But he says, because all this stuff the Gentiles see. Y'all using y'all belief for the American dream. Y'all believing for all the stuff everybody else believing for. Do the Gentiles see? He said, but no, I need you to do this. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these will be. Sound like it's coming to you. Sound like it's coming from you. See, the whole conversation is this. You wrapped your belief and you got your belief projects. No, you the project. Y'all ain't hear me? No, stop praying for everything else. The scripture they ask, but you ask amiss. When you ask, you receive what you ask for, right? Right? But we're asking the wrong questions. We're asking for the wrong things. Our question should be, Father, every day I want you to show me more of who I am. Y'all want a devotion? You want a daily prayer? Father, today, show me more of my oneship with you. Listen to me. Listen to me well. When Jesus says, he says, come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, and I give you rest. Take my yoke upon and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, you'll find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy. He wasn't lying. The yoke is easy. But we've been struggling because we've been just in belief. And we hadn't been in I am. Cool. Yeah, belief. Yeah, you believe. But you know, you don't want to be a career student. And sometimes you got to graduate. Sometimes you got to get that paper that says you are a. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying?
Yes,
sir. So we become stuck there. Only one thing is needful. Rich young ruler come running. Good master. Why you call me good? Hold on. You don't know me that well. Why you call me good? Ain't nothing good but one. What I do to inherit eternal life? Cool. You did all the church stuff? I've been part of the praise team. He said, all right, Jesus loved him. He said, one thing you lack, go sell everything you have, all the stuff you've been identifying yourself with. Go get rid of everything you identified yourself with. Because what you're asking me for requires a new identity. What you're asking me for requires another ID.
Yeah. Ooh, that's good.
He gets settled, I'll tell you across the farm. He go away sad. Because I done took a long time to build this. I took a long time to get this together. This is who I am now. He told him, one thing you're lacking. You. There's one thing you're lacking. You. There's one thing you're lacking, and it's you. One thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good thing that can't be taken away from her. Your identity cannot be taken away from you. Who you are in the Father can't be taken from you. You believe for that stuff can take from you. That stuff can be taken. It can be taken and shaken and moving and all that. But you can't take my identity.
No.
Jesus ain't looking for believers. He don't need no believers. He needs some beers. Some beers. Y'all thought you said, yeah. Oh, that's the best. He needs some beers. No, hold on, hyphenated. He needs some beers. He needs some beer. What kind of revelation is this? Somebody about to call Apostle. Apostle, see, I told him, boy came here with all this craziness talking about Jesus needs some beer. He's looking for beers. Listen, so I'll conclude with this. That's funny. I'll conclude with this. That I want you to shift your belief and believe on the one that he sent. And when you begin to believe on the one that he sent, John 3:16 is one of our favorites, ain't it? Yes. Ain't it? Oh, quote it. How does John 3:16 go? Oh, he gave his only begotten what?
Son.
He didn't give only begotten prophet. Only begotten. No, he gave his only begotten.
Son.
That whosoever.
Believe.
What? Believe what though?
On him.
Not believe on what he can do. Stop. There's in John 16, I can't go there because I don't have time. Read John 6. John, the book of John, he laid that thing out in a whole other way. John 14, 15, he starts talking about I'm in you and you in me.
Yeah.
I'm the vine, you the branches, right? I ain't got time to go there, all right? He said, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you ask what you will. And it shall be done unto you. But it'll be done unto you because what you're asking, the will that you're asking, right, is me abiding in you.
Yeah.
John 6, he started talking about it a little while. He said, listen, I'm the bread of life.
Yeah.
He said, but I ain't come here to do nothing but what the will of the Father is. I didn't come here to whatever y'all think. Then over in John 16, right, he's over there talking. I'm going to go over there real quick. I ain't going to go over there. Look, he says, and in that day, you ain't going to ask me nothing. What Bible are we reading, y'all? We must not have read that one. Because we constantly asking him, Jesus, please come in. Jesus said, what more do you want from me? Jesus come in, save the day. Jesus come in and change the world. He said, you here? I said, all y'all here. Do I really gotta come back again? Y'all, listen to what I'm saying. Do I really gotta come back again and do it all over? What you here for? I'm a big proponent of not riding the boat. But let me roll too. I couldn't stand doing them group projects in school. Well, you got somebody in that group project that just don't do nothing. So I told God, I don't want nothing from you. I just want you to show me more who I am in you. And I'm going to play my part. I'm going to partner with you. I'm going to play my part. I am going to be what you expected me to be. Right? There are some things that you wanted me to be here and to speak into existence. You didn't want me to clap about what you spoke into existence. You wanted me to be the same way. Shift your belief. Shift it. The reason it's taking so long for the manifestation of whatever that thing that you've been believing for that you wrote down and all that is because that wasn't what it's supposed to be on. That thing come from you. Is it gonna come to you? Just as simple as pie. But I need you to know who you are.
Yes, sir.
All them other prayers, stop. Stop all them prayers. Stop. Stop all them doggone prayers. All them prayers. Stop. When you pray, pray like this, our Father who art in heaven. One time Jesus tell her how to pray. He teaches how to pray. This is how he teaches. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom to come, thy will be done. In earth. As it is in heaven. Lord, what's your will? He gonna say you. I'm telling you, I done heard it. Lord, what's your will? He said, you my will. He said, you my will in the flesh. And you know, the next answer would be, see, the reason people don't, we've stopped people from, you know, they say you're on fire for the Lord. We stop people from really having a zeal after the Father because we teach them how to be believers. Listen, when you start teaching, when you tell me, I ask God, what's your will? And he say, you? Oh, well, tell me more. Oh, this conversation can't end right here. This becomes a conversation where I can't stop talking about this conversation. I'm trying to hear this all the time. I wake up in the morning, I'm trying to hear it because you done told me I'm the will, I'm your will. Oh yeah. We having this conversation all day long. Tell me what I look at. This is what I want to talk about. I really don't want to talk about anything else. What are y'all talking about? Sitting in these conversations going on, I'll be like, I don't want to talk about this. Why am I sitting in there talking to these people about this? You my will. What's your will, God? He said, you are.
Jesus.
And then he's going to constantly be unfolding you. Don't be stubborn in your belief. Stubborn in the way you think things are supposed to go. Because God, the Father, is trying to unfold and unveil and reveal more of who you are to you. Hey, change your little ritual. Your little regiment you're doing every day. You think you're being dedicated to the Lord? Change your little regiment. Ask him something different tomorrow. Just look simple. Just, Lord, show me who I am. Lord, show me who I am in you.
Yes.
I don't want nothing today, God. I know you already protecting me.
Yes.
I know it's not my prayers that make you protect me. It's not my prayers that make you be to love me like you do. I understand the audacity of us. I know it's not my prayers that do it. I ain't looking for nothing. I don't want nothing from you today. I ain't come here asking you for nothing. Just show me more who I am in you. And the ease of the Spirit of God will begin to ooze out of you. And all those things you've been toiling and it's been hard to do, they're going to flow from you because you know who you are. Amen, amen, beyond belief.